The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and when they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" the characters in Jesus' parable asked. With these two questions, the servants in the parable put their master on trial. They question both his character and his ability. "There are weeds," meaning either you don't care or you're unable to prevent them, is what they were saying. Now, Jesus' parables illustrate reality, so the servant's accusation is the same accusation that's leveled against God. "There is evil in the world, God," which means you must be either unwilling or unable to prevent it. That's what's being said. And just what caused this accusation? Well, the answer is the devil. Has God really said? Is his go-to line used to destroy trust in God's goodness and also his ability to keep his word of promise? And from this mistrust and unbelief flow all that we call evil in the world. And then once the bait of mistrusting God is swallowed, the devil's second temptation comes rushing onto the scene. Since God is unable or unwilling to keep his word, you better take control, is put forward by the devil as the solution to it all. Note what the servants ask their master. "Do you want us to go and gather the weeds?" they asked. It's the same question we ask of God. "There's evil in the world, God, but no worries, we'll help you out. For whom should we vote? Just tell us. Is it capitalism or is it communism? Let us know. Who needs to die? We've got lots of missiles and airplanes, you know. What laws should be passed? What diet should we follow? Which doctor should we visit? Which type of therapy do we need? Which drug should we take? Just turn us loose and we'll fix all of this mess for you, God." But this is where things get aggravating. No effective plan for overcoming evil is given to us by God. Only a warning that if we take matters into our own hands and try to help God out, we'll mess it all up. Even worse. In gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat, is the warning. which means the wheat and the weeds grow together. Good and evil coexist in this world, and God neither wants or needs us to help him figure it all out. This is what St. Paul told us when he wrote, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." We cannot fix the world, and our failure will be painfully obvious if we try. One only needs look in the mirror or out into the world to see the truthfulness of the apostles' words. And so we're back to square one in our aspirations to be our own God, eating humble pie after being reminded once again that God is God and we're not. So we live. We live doing the best we can for others every now and then, knowing that it will never be enough. But Jesus doesn't leave us with no answers about evil and God's treatment of it. He tells us exactly how God deals with evil in his world. He will send out his reapers. All right, now we're getting somewhere. The children of the evil one are going to get what's coming to them. All sinners and all lawbreakers are headed to the fiery furnace of God's judgment. But hold up there, overachiever. When we're honest with ourselves, Jesus' words ought to give us pause. Are we not the ones who mistrust God? Did we not just confess in the presence of God and one another the consequences of our mistrust? Are we not the ones who put God on trial? Where are you, God? And don't you care? Are we not the ones who, as various and sundry ways, manifest our mistrust and unbelief as we try to help God out because we cannot and will not trust him? Could we be the weeds for whom the reapers are coming? You are indeed. And it's too late to do anything about it. There, gathered at the font, the end of the age has already happened, and you got what you deserved, death. Your very presence there proves God's point about you. If you didn't need forgiveness, then you wouldn't need baptism. But who can claim no forgiveness is needed for me? So, God's final judgment of you happened. And then, for reasons known only to God, his good and trustworthy promise of mercy and eternal life was preached into the water that was poured right over your head. And for God to speak is for God to do. And when he makes a promise, he can and he will keep it. And he doesn't need your help. And so it is at the altar rail too, where God tells you repeatedly that your sin is forgiven and his mercy for you eternal. And that is why I say to you that you are forgiven unconditionally by the Father for Christ's sake. You are righteous for Christ's sake. You have ears, and now you've heard yet again that Jesus Christ is for you. Amen.